I didn't mean to wake you up, but it's afternoon. And somebody even told me over there, good morning, so they feel the same way, I guess. It's a habit. But we're glad you're here on the afternoon service, and we appreciate your patience with our decision to have a 2 o'clock service rather than an early morning service. And it was pretty cool this morning at my house, and probably your house too. In fact, it's still cool at my house. Cooler inside, I believe, than it is outside. But we welcome you, and do we have any special needs for prayer? Anyone special? All of you are special, but any prayer needs that are special?
Pansy has tested positive for COVID, and then Brother Mark McKinney has tested positive today, or yesterday, or even today.
Okay. Mark McKinney and Pansy Flannery. Anyone else? Any other requests? Joe Hill, pastor, used to be pastor, preacher, at least preacher Joe Hill.
He's in the hospital, supposed to get there long tomorrow. He's had COVID.
Okay. We will, brother. Joe Hill.
Brother Wayne's mama.
Shirley.
Yeah, last I heard she was doing better, but they still had her in ICU.
Remember Shirley, Wayne's mother, she has COVID and is in the hospital. Anybody else? Any other requests from anyone? Unspoken? Anybody have an unspoken?
I just like to thank the Lord. Our great grandson was diagnosed with COVID Monday, and he doesn't want it.
Well, that's great.
He never quit eating, and he just runs in this little girl, like temper, temperature, but
great. Praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Okay. Anyone else?
There's Tanner and Brittany McCallan. Tanner lost his dad. And Ed and Corey Carlson have COVID. They're in Texas right now. Corey's in ICU. So remember those. Remember Shelby and Keith.
Okay.
Does anybody know how Brother Ed Holden's doing?
I talked to him Friday. He's doing okay, he does. But he said he was doing better with it. So
did they postpone the?
They postponed it to next Saturday, I believe he told me, because he didn't want to go down there with the symptoms of COVID. So remember, Brother Ed Holden, and let me. Doing Sister Jerry's service down there next Saturday. Anyone else?
John Kilgore family.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I talked to her last week. Early, and she was up and going, and she said, "I'm able to move and go," so that's wonderful. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord, Daddy's healing up from his cold or whatever it was, and Mama's elbow, you wouldn't even know it was broke anymore, so thank the Lord.
Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. An update on my niece, a great niece, rather, Arden. She got to come home Friday from the hospital, and she's home after how many days? 40? How many? 39? 49 days. She had a heart transplant, but she's home now. All the lines are gone and the drain tubes, and she's just glad to be home.
And we're thankful for the prayers that you've given the family and continue to pray for the family in Arden as well. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll sing number 406. You can go ahead and turn to that if you want. 406. And we'll pray, and then we'll have a song. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for each request that's been made. You tell us to make our wishes known to you, and you will deal with them. Sometimes it's not the way we want, but we're not you. You tell us in your word, our thoughts are not like yours, our ways are not like yours, and our power sure is not like yours. So we just lean it to you, give it to you, and lean upon you and trust you, for you're an awesome, loving, kind, gracious God. We pray for those that are hurting this day, those that have lost loved ones, those that have sickness, immediate sickness, and those that have been added to our prayer list, even as we speak this morning or this afternoon. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you so much for our church family. And we thank you for each one that's made the effort to be here this evening. And we know it's a cold time, a hard time, and with COVID and sickness and sinus infections and pneumonia and so much going, Lord, that it's hard to even keep count of it. But you're counting it all. You count our cost, our sin cost too. And you cast them as far as the east is from the west, you tell us, if we are saved and know you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for loving us another day. We thank you for each one of our church members. We thank you for those that are, can't be here but are listening on the feed, FM feed. And Lord, we just thank you so much for our pastor, his wife, and his children. And Lord, just his consistency with preaching and teaching your word. And we just thank you for this day and this time together. And may we, when we leave, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord and sing praises unto you, for you're so deserving and so loving. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have to get a songbook. You can stand or stay seated, whichever you're comfortable doing. And we'll begin 406, The Solid Rock.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good frigid afternoon to everyone. This afternoon, I don't know what to call it, but we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and there are 17 verses, so I'm going to have to be quick today, but I do ask you to be praying for me. I have ulcers in the back of my throat that hurt when I talk and swallow, so just pray that God give me the ability to get through this. But again, I want to tell you thank you for making the effort to come out. I thank you that you have prayed for me and that you have been here and that you're willing to push ahead. I'm thankful for those that may be listening by Facebook and those that might be in the parking lot. And I want to remind you, if you don't remember anything, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. I'm going to read out of the King James. I'm not a King James only guy, but I got to be honest, that's my favorite of all the versions. And so I'm going to read the whole chapter, and if you want to stand this afternoon, you may stand. But if you want to remain seated, that's all right too. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such which turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceived, or deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man or the woman or the boy or the girl of God may be perfect, or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning, God, and I just confess to you that I'm a sinner. Heavenly Father, Lord, I failed you in many ways, and I just ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I thank you, Lord, that it's not about my perfection, and it's not about what I do or don't do, but God, it's about the grace of Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished on the Calvary and on the resurrection. And God, I pray right now that you'll give us the ability to receive your word and not only to hear it, Heavenly Father, but God, that we'll be able to apply it and be better Christians, that will serve you better and will make more of an impact for your cause and your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, to be honest with you, earlier this week as we were looking towards Wednesday night, this is where I wanted to go. I wanted to really focus on from about verse 10 on down, specifically where it talks about the purpose, the origin of Scripture, the ability of Scripture and the purpose of Scripture, specifically in verse 16, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which literally translates to being God-breathed, that this book itself is breathed by God Almighty. And why I was thinking that is because we're going to be going into some new studies, such as Genesis, which will be a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. In it, we're going to cover creation and six 24-hour days and a seventh day that God rested from creation. Then we'll move on to corruption, where we see that Adam and Eve fall and the curse comes upon humanity and upon all creation. And then there's the catastrophe, where judgment comes upon the earth, that God says, I'll never flood the earth again. And then it goes to confusion. Remember at the Tower of Babel, they chose not to separate like God told them to do, and so it ended up that God had to do something. Moving from there, we'll be studying about Christ and the cross, and we'll finish it up, lastly, with the consummation of God's plan and God's judgment. And then we're going to be moving to what we believe here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And we're going to be talking about, it's really the new members class, but when's the last time you've heard exactly what Thomas Village stands on? It's been a while, ain't it? What is our doctrine? I mean, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in His power to save, but there's a lot of other things that some people may not have any idea what we stand on. And so we're going to go through those things. But as I said, I wanted to look at this, but God ended up, I didn't go to it. If you remember, do you remember where we studied from? Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And remember, we studied that not only do we know that, but there's some other things that we should know. But as the week got a little deeper in, the Lord had something He had to teach me. He had to show me that I wasn't the person that I thought I was. I began to realize that these past 2 years has probably been two of the hardest years, even after being in the wreck, you know, that year there. And it seems like that at least once a week, if not on a daily basis, you have to adjust. Things come in here, somebody gets COVID, somebody dies, you feel this way. And I just didn't feel like it was fair. And God began to show me some things, but He had to take me back beyond those verses that I wanted to preach about. And He had to use His word to show me just how not far along I am. I still got a long way to go. But before we jump in, we need to kind of bring you up to what's happening here in 2 Thessalonians. Kindly to let you see what's going on. In 2 Timothy, it's written around 67, 68 A.D., which is about 15 years from when the church at Thessalonica was founded. If you look over into Acts chapter 17, you'll see what happens there is that there were great persecution. There was a lot of trials and pain, but in that, Paul, Silas and Timothy, they were able to see a church grow. They were able to see a lot of Jews come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also said that they were they had the ability to also see Greeks that were able to become a part of it. But the Jewish Hebrews, they got angry. And so what they did was they tried to find Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and they were going to beat them up. But a man named Jason, he took them into his household and he hid them, and the Jews beat him up, dragged him down the place, but Paul, Silas, and Timothy were able to escape to Berea. Well, these angry Jews followed them all the way to Berea as well, and finally what happened was Paul had to exit by the sea and go into Athens, but Silas and Timothy were able to hang back a little bit. But now 2 Timothy is being written 15 years after we see that Paul, if you remember, when Paul had to leave, he said, I'm going to send Timothy. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, he said, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning the faith, so that no one will be shaken by these persecutions, for you know that we are appointed unto this. And so Timothy goes in there and he serves as pastor there for a while. He serves with Timothy. And what's happening now as he's writing this second Timothy to him, what's going on is this. Paul is in prison now. And not only is he in prison, but basically he's been left alone by all of his friends. And Nero is on the throne. Nero is the one that persecuted Christians. And Paul had got to the point that he realized he didn't have much time left on this earth. And so as he's talking to Timothy, he is telling him that he had insight. If you look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, really about in chapter 3 is of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and chapter 4 is where Paul begins to lay out the transition that needs to be made. That Timothy, it's his time to step up and to be the one that carries on the ministry of Paul. And I think as we went through with Sister Catherine and losing her, I kind of believe that he might have did with her like he did with the Apostle Paul and gave him insight that he didn't have long left. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "For I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those that love his appearing." And by faith, as he's writing Timothy, he's able to look ahead at this transition. And he recognizes that his death is the last sacrifice that he'll be able to make for Christ on this side, and he is ready to graduate and to go over. But his biggest concern was, Timothy, you've got to carry on. You've got to continue doing the work of the Lord. And if I had a title for this morning's message, and it really hit me in the eyes, The Call to Continue. The Call to Continue. As a different man, Paul invested love after he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was changed not only in name from Saul to Paul, but his whole lifestyle changed. He no longer cared about the glitz and the glamour of religion. He just wanted to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to see others come to know Jesus and to get closer with him. So Paul, when he was starting all those churches, he was going from Iconium to all these other places. Timothy and Silas were with him a lot of the times. And so Timothy was able to watch Paul. He was able to see how Paul lived, the things that Paul did, and was able to kindly mimic him. But while these things were going on, and the church was growing there at Thessalonica, what happened was in those 15 to 16 years, because like I said, when they first started it, it was around 51 A.D. when the church at Thessalonica was founded. When the second letter, and maybe it was the last letter that Paul ever wrote to Timothy, it was about 16 years. And there had been some great growth in the church. And Timothy had been there, but during that time there had also been false teachers, false doctrine, and that was coming into the church. And along with the false teaching came false professions. And so you had these cliques. You had this group that believed this, and it had to be that way. And then you had another group that said, no, we're going to stand with Paul. And he was asking Timothy and telling Timothy, I need you to continue to stay. In Timothy chapter 4, he tells of the situation that's going on. He talks to Timothy about the problem. He said, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, when they will not tolerate reasonable, godly teaching, but according to their own desires, that will multiply teachers for themselves because they have itching ears to hear something new. They will turn away. Do you know this, that there is nothing new to be preached under the sun? I mean, I'm ripping off somebody's sermon every Sunday. I may not know that I'm ripping them off, but praise God, there's nothing to be added to or taken away. We have the Word of God. That's just not for Revelations, which is a quote from Revelation, but that's the whole of the book. In other words, and really, we're living in this time. In other words, the so-called religious crowd, the so-called Christian crowd, the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica was going to get to a place where all they wanted around them were people that agreed with them. While at the same time, They were able to rationalize what they were doing and to gratify their own personal wants and to desires. And if they didn't agree with the teaching, they would just reject it. And so Christ was very direct, just like Paul with what was coming up in with humanity before his return. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, and Jesus said, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets will rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And many pastors, I've heard them preach that there's going to be a great falling away. That when it's professing men, thank you, brother. It's dry back there. That those that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to get to a point where they don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to receive the Word of God. You remember the parable over in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, the persistent widow. And remember, Jesus was teaching that men are always to pray and not faint. And he talked about how that finally the unrighteous king said, "Hey, I'll give her what she wants because she's just wearing me out." And you remember the last question that he asked in that parable was, "When I return, when the Son of Man returns," this is in Luke 18:8, "when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith?" While I'm telling you this, can I tell you something about, I think we're at that point. I think we're at a place right now where especially the American church doesn't want to receive what God has to say. Doesn't want to know what. We just want to be able to feel better where we're at. We want to feel better about what we're doing. We don't want to have to tote the guilt. If somebody puts guilt on us, then man, we can probably find somebody that we can agree with other than that one. I mean, door-to-door evangelism is no longer even a thing. When was the last time somebody asked you, "Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" I remember we would go to Daytona and we would go to the outlet malls and there would be youth groups and things like that that would come and they would be standing at different corners. And it would be normal to have somebody ask you, "Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" But when's the last time you've heard it? Past 2 years? Past 4 years? See? And then for most of the community, maybe even local holler churches, do you think they're running at least half of what they run just over 2 years ago? No. We're living in fear. Our society is limiting interaction with one another. And so, who do we listen to? People we agree with, right? When we watch Fox News or we watch MSNBC or we watch CNN, more than likely our opinion is going to be what we're listening to. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to be told that we're thinking in a wrong way. The overall idea of the need to be with brother, sister in Christ. I mean, anymore, nobody sees that that's a burden. We're living in a time where if you really want to be a holy roller, show up to church 2 times on Sunday morning. If you want to be a Jesus freak, show up 2 Sunday mornings and 2 Sunday nights in the same month. And then if you really want to sacrifice, come 1 or 2 Wednesday nights on that. You see, no longer is there a burden to be in the house of God. We can take it or we can leave it, right? We want it our way. And I think you would agree. You may not like what I'm saying right now, but I'm going to tell you this. COVID season has made the American church lazy. It's made the American pastor lazy. It's made the spirit-called Sunday school teacher lazy. But not only that, and how's it going to change? How's it going to change? Hey, you know one of the reasons I cut my hair? Not because it's warm, because she cut it last night, and that was cold, cold when I got out this morning. But you know what? I want to get back to a point where I look professional. And I want to act professional. And I want us to be about the business of God, not just taking it and leaving it. And I know we can't help cold weather. I know we can't help cold weather. But I want you to ask this question this morning. Are you willing to continue in his calling. You know he's called you to do something. You know he's asked you. But I've got 5 points, and I want us just to look at them real quick. The first one is seen there in verse 1, and it is a call to recognize the coming challenge. A call, this is, you'd say it was Paul calling out Timothy to recognize the coming challenge. In verse 1 he said, and this is the Christian standard, he says, "But know this, hard times will come in the last days." The King James says perilous times. Perilous times means difficult, violent, and hard to bear up under. Hey, would you say that's COVID season? I mean, it is. But this is not the first time that Paul has written of coming hard times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with Him, we ask you, brother, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled either by spirit or by a message or by a letter as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord cannot come unless the apostasy or the rejection of doctrine and truth comes first, and the man of lawlessness." Who's the man of lawlessness? The Antichrist is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's sanctuary, publicizing that he himself is God. And I'm telling you right now, and I talked about it last Sunday, but we're living in the most, probably the most narcissistic time that has ever been. Because everybody is about how many likes they can get. Hey, I get caught up in it. If I want to do good, I just put Amy's picture on there and we get a lot. If I just do myself, I don't get any responses. But if I do her, but everybody, and you would agree that the selfie is probably the most taken picture in all of the world right now. And so as Paul begins to define these perilous times, and in the last days, and in the New Testament, basically the definition of the last days is after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the end of age in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it's called the last hours. So he says there's going to be hard times. There's going to be difficult times. It's going to be tough to bear up under what is falling. But then, not only does he describe the times or the last days, but then he begins to describe perilous people. In the verses 2 through 4, he begins to lay it out. Not only is it going to be difficult and violent and hard to bear under just the situation, but there's going to be people that are pushing down on you. There's going to be people that are violent against you. There's going to be people that are difficult. And notice, he lays it out between there. The first thing that he says is going to classify, or that's going to define, the people that live in the last days and during those hard times. This was the first one that the Holy Spirit slapped me with when I was studying. Lovers of self. You want me to tell you what? When we think about other people going through hard situations, we'll think, man, that's terrible. Man, that's hard. But you know what? We'll think for our own selves, that ain't fair. I don't deserve it. I'm not happy with not being able to control this situation, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure self is number one. The idea of loving self means that you are extremely obsessive about yourself. And then you remember last week we talked about how close our society is looking like Satan. Lucifer is described over in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. He says, "You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mountain of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Hey, evolution, we live in a time now that the highest of all creation is what? Human beings, unless we've been planted by aliens. And hey, I was watching something at 2 o'clock last night that believed that the aliens are demons. or either angelic things that when we get called out of here, they're going to land. I don't know if that's true, but it's the weirdest stuff I've ever heard. But what's happening? We're falling for all kind of stuff. This was on, what's the one with the star? Daystar. It was on the Daystar network. But notice it says something else. Lovers of money. Lovers of money. That just means that there's a craving for cash and what it can afford. I don't know anybody that hates money. I don't know anybody that hates money, but I'll say this right now, that we would rather have money. Our society, the modern American church, would rather have fine buildings, have money in the bank, than to be active and not having money in the bank. Huh? We'd rather know, and we'd rather fuss, and we'd rather talk about, and we'd rather debate this and that than to just say, in Jesus' name, spend the money. He give us the money, praise God, we're going to use it for His glory. But is that the attitude of most churches? And then we got to remember this. He ain't writing to a lost world. When He's saying that perilous times is coming, He's not going to say, hey, if you go out to a bar, it's going to be very hard. No, Timothy's the pastor. He's been the pastor there. He's saying hard times is coming. You're going to deal with lovers of self in the church. You're going to deal with those that would rather have money than to have activity. He says they're going to be boastful and proud. I'm not going to read all of these, but it's going to be personal grandeur and great tales of accomplishment. They're going to be demeaning, meaning that they're going to lessen others by building themselves up. They're disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Man, we're to be the most grateful people in the church. Man, we should be able to have a testimony service one day that I should never have to preach. We should have enough people that was willing to say, God has done this for me. And goes on to say that they're unholy. The idea of holy there is that we will not, in this time, people are not going to live a separated life for the glory of the Lord. They don't want to be set apart. It goes on to say that they're unloving, irreconcilable. That means that they're basically traitors to God and traitors to their commitment and to the call of God. Slanderers, without self-control, not having authority over their own actions, and the selfishness that they would rather please their own self than to step aside for someone else or for the glory of the Lord. Brutal, that means like a savage beast. And look at this, without love for what is good. I'm going to take it back to the money. Because remember, many churches, many houses of God would rather have a few thousand dollars in the bank than to have different programs that we're able to fund or they're able to take care of. It says they're traitors, they're reckless, acting without reason of good sin. I'm going to tell you what right now. I don't want anybody anymore to get the Omicron or whatever's coming after that. But can I tell you this? God's being good to us. And most of our people, most Americans are beginning to understand that it's going to whittle down to something like the flu. But we've got leadership that is trying to get us to live in fear. Praise God, if we were living by faith, we wouldn't let this get a hold of us. We're not to be stupid. But we're to look at the 3 years and how this thing's been playing out. God's been good through it all. And He's looking out for us. Notice it says they'll be conceited, but then it says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Meaning that we would rather be like Satan. We would rather lift ourselves up, that we're number one in our lives. And you remember, he's called the devil. He's called the Lord of Flies. He's called Lucifer. But over in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 2, he's also called the ruler of Tyre. And listen, the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, says to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the Lord God says. Your heart is proud, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the sea, yet you are a man and not a god, though you have regarded your heart as though you were God. You see, we're bearing the image. What did he say? You're either of me, you're either my child, or you're what? Your father who is who? You know, there's either one or the other. Now, yes, I realize that we can fall away. And God had to get my attention, and is still getting my attention. But this is what's defined. This is the perilous time. This is the heavy burden. And I think we feel it. I think we feel it as a church, Thomas Village. Praise God, I'm thankful you're here today because, you know, God is doing a work. But man, when around Thanksgiving, you know, we were getting things kicked back off and things were looking good and Awana was going good and Sunday school was going good. What happened? It's just like the whole Omicron come in and we had to start all over again. And you know, that can get tiresome. But praise God, we are being called to continue. We've got to understand that this is the situation. That this is the perilous times. And no, none of us want to be in the last days. None of us, and I believe that probably, I'm not saying he's grown yet, but I believe the Antichrist is on the scene somewhere. I believe that. But the last times have to come. And praise God that he has found us, at least that we can suffer for him in that. Number two, there's a call to separate from the dangerous and from the deceived. Look there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 and 9. For among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women. I wanted to change that so bad, but I didn't. Overwhelm them by sins and lead them astray by a variety of passions. Always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres, now that is in Exodus chapters 7 through about 9, you'll read about Pharaoh's wizards and sorcerers. You remember when Aaron and Moses throw down the snakes, and they throw down the snakes, and Pharaoh's told his magicians to throw down their rods, and it turned into snakes. Their names aren't mentioned over in Exodus, but this is who he's referencing. He says, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth, just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so also they resist the truth. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to faith, for they will not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all, as was Jannes and Jambres. Now, the King James says that they are creep in the houses. And the Christian Standard calls them worms. But the picture is that of a varmint, of a something that goes unnoticed because it's so low. The idea of it is, when you remember he talked about where the worm dieth not, that of a maggot or something like that. And the idea is that they're low dwelling, unseen and unnoticed until they've already caused the damage within the people. Notice their goal is to overwhelm and lead astray. And I'm telling you, that spirit right now is very present in America. And they're going to, notice what it says. It said, how are they going to do it? They're going to overwhelm them by sins, but then notice something else. A variety of passions. Now remember, they're already lovers of self. They're already going to be given to wanting to fulfill their own passions. And man, if somebody comes along that says, hey, we can give it to you the way you want, ever learning, they're ever learning, meaning, and lots of times the idea there is that they're claiming to be wise, they become fools over in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. But their minds are not able. It goes on to say, there in verse 8, it says, they are men of corrupt minds. The minds are broken. Their minds are broken. They cannot receive the truth of God. But they're always learning something new. I mean, we're living in the last 50 to 100 years. There's been more information introduced to humanity than there was before all of that. And if you listen to people that are in places of prestige and power, what do they say? If we're going to get out of this, we got to have more understanding. We got to have more knowledge. But do you know what some of the highest paying jobs are right now? If you'll be a pipe fitter and a welder, you can make anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 a year. Now, you'd have to have some training. But praise God, it's not all found in wisdom and understanding. That's where we're messing up. Instead of looking to Jesus, instead of looking to the Bible, we're looking to man's wisdom and man's idea. Is that not what's happening with COVID? Hey, CDC don't know what they're saying. I mean, it's up one day, down another. You can get on a plane after 5 days if you're clean, but you got to wear a mask for the rest of the time. I mean, it's just going to be this and that. Some of it don't lock together. But there's going to be people like that in the church. And I'll say this. Many of today's hot topic issues, what we would call social justice issues, They try to pass it off on sincere men and women as a banner of love and inclusion, when the Bible says it's wrong. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're of a race or a skin color, you can't change that. But homosexuality and other things, they can't even be compared. But that's what society is trying to... That is ignorance. That doesn't make sense, but that's what the wisest people, or so-called wise people, are handing out today. But in their minds, they're the smartest ones. And notice in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, avoid such people. Paul is saying, separate from the dangerous and those that are seeking to deceive. That God, and they can, what's he saying? Hey, most of us were raised up in the Bible Belt. We know how to make it look pretty good religiously. But are we truly, and believe you me, I'm preaching to me more than I'm preaching to you probably. But do we believe that God has the power? That we can get back not only to running 100 to 120, 130, but can we get back to 175? Do you believe that? Get up to 200? Or do you think that day's gone in America? See, that's what we tell ourselves. Well, the great falling away is coming and God just ain't going to work like that no more. How many of have ever heard of the last revival? You know what I mean? That there'll be a final rain of grace and mercy and there'll be awakenings. I believe that, or at least we should be hoping for that, because that's what Jesus wants to do. It's not his will that any should perish. But they are led away by many passions. And notice when it called them silly women, and I didn't say this, or gullible women, it's not simply speaking to the female. But what that means is weak, unknowing, unlearned, and of little sense. They just ain't got good sense. Hey, when we were studying over in the book of Proverbs, how many times was it said that we live in a world where there is no common sense anymore? I mean, you don't have to really think about that too much. Just listen to the TV. So we see that he's called him to recognize that there is a coming challenge. And then he called him, that he asked him, he says, I call you to separate from the dangerous and those that are deceiving. And then there is the call in verse 10, a call to continue with Christ-like character. A call to continue with Christ-like character. Now, in verse 10 it says, but you have followed my teachings. Paul's saying, you've been around me. You've seen how God has used me. You've seen the call that he's had. Matter of fact, when I couldn't be there, God allowed you to go in there and to step up into that position. He had, from the studies and the reading that Timothy had lived out with Paul, Paul had been an example of God's faithful servant in the same way. And notice, Paul was very bold in saying, "Can watch me and do like I do." He says it here. He says, this is what you've been doing. You've been watching me and you've been doing what I've been doing. But remember what he said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. And then he tells the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have set us. Just as he did, now he's calling them out and saying, I want you to continue in a Christ-like character. You remember when he said hard times is coming, and he described the perilous times and the perilous people. Now he's going to describe the type of lifestyle that the people of God, specifically Timothy, the preacher, should live. The first thing is the teachings that I've been given. You know what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2? He was determined to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. You know, remember he said, God didn't send me. He told the Corinthians, he said, God didn't send me to baptize. He came, I'm an evangelist. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to preach the gospel. But you know what? There's also a place, and he's going to talk about it. I'm not going to spend much time on verses 15, 16, and 17 because I want to be able to come back to them later on. But you remember what he said? He says, there are things that we should be. There are wide ways to determine and to divide and to decide what the Scripture says and how we're to live it out. But notice he moves on and he says not only the teachings but the conduct. You know, Jesus Christ lived the model life for every citizen of the kingdom of God. But how many of us go straight to the Gospels to find a pattern for living? We look at the life of Jesus and we pattern ourselves out. No, we know the Scriptures and we can quote the Scriptures, but He's the one that lived it out. And then you've got men like Paul and Peter that did their best. Have you ever just said, Lord, I'm going to pick out something in John. I'm going to pick out something in Mark. I'm going to look at something in Luke. And for that week, I'm going to base my life, or I'm going to try to live out what I've seen in Jesus in that Scripture. Notice something else. He not only says conduct, but He has a purpose. Every person that has ever come by the blood of Jesus Christ has been given a gift of and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And each day we live is an opportunity to fulfill the purpose that God has for their life. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, God's got a purpose on you. And you've got to step up. You've got to be willing to continue in that call and that purpose. He goes on to talk about faith, a confidence in the unseen, a willingness to live a life based on the truth that we may not can see right now. Then there's patience and love. Jesus said the greatest of all commands is what? To love the Lord your God with all your being. And then He says the second is likened to it. And all the other laws, the Old Testament laws, hang on those two. Love your God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. And then this one, as we talk about a call to continue. The last one here in this Scripture is Paul is saying that the faith, the patience, and the last one is endurance. What is endurance? This is the ability to continue to push the obstacle when the obstacle ain't moving. You know, you understand what I'm saying? That even though you're not feeling any change, even though you're not sensing any change, you're still going to push. Why? Because that's what you're called to do. You're called to push until He calls you home, like Paul is saying He's doing for me, or for him. And he says that we're to continue to push in that situation. So, a call to continue in Christ-like character. And then number four, a call, and this is the one where I've been mad. I've been resentful. I didn't understand it. But he calls Timothy to embrace the trials. Huh? How many of us want to do that right now? Yep, I'm looking for the next one coming down the line. I just want to give it a big old bear hug. But listen what he says. Verses 11 to 12. Along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, all who want to live a godly life. Do you want to live a godly life? Well, then we'll, in Jesus Christ, we'll be persecuted. I went back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You remember when Paul kind of just lays it out there. He says, this is what I've been through. This is what I've been. He says, 5 times I received 39 lashes from Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. And you know, he was a Jew and a Roman. Once I was stoned by my enemies. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers of rivers, from robbers, from my own people, from the Gentiles, in the city, in the country, on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, and lacking clothing. But what did he say? In everything, I've got to a point that wherever I'm at, I'm content. I can embrace the good times and I can embrace the trials. God called him to embrace the trials. Have you ever thought about that about Paul? I mean, that's what he went through. That's just the experience. But think about what he lived with his physical issues. I've told you about how some of the commentaries that I read behind say that he had been beat up, cut, and whipped and all that, that he had so much scar tissue that he probably couldn't turn his neck and look the other way. And then that's not even, we don't even know for sure, because there's also the thorn in the flesh. You remember over in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself. Remember, that's what the perilous people are going to be. They're going to be exalting themselves. They're going to be lovers of self more than lovers of God. But he says, therefore, because of this, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Just like Job, remember? Satan went to the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you a place. And that messenger of Satan was to torment Paul so that he would not exalt him. He had to continue to fight that battle. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for his grace is perfected in my weakness. Here's the fact. What God said, what God was telling him, when he asked him, he said, I want you to take this thorn away. I don't want Satan's messenger to be in my life, and three times I've asked you to do this. But the response from God was, fact. What I'm letting in your life, the trials that I'm asking you to embrace, there is a purpose in your life, and I am allowing it. And Paul said, okay, I've got to the point where I can just take it. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't got to that point yet. I'm not saying whoopity-doo every time something comes up. Matter of fact, I'm getting tired of it. But God's doing something with it. And either I'm going to accept it or he's going to beat the stew out of me even more. 2 Corinthians 12:17, so that I would not exalt myself. You ever thought about that? That's why God puts the situations in your life, because if not, we might get a high opinion of ourselves. Huh? I'm going to be honest with you. It don't take much for me to get a high opinion of myself. And I'd say that's true with most humans because we're fallen. I mean, we are sinners. And we like to fulfill our own desires and make sure that we're comfortable. I don't understand it. I get upset. But according to God, every trial, every storm, every battle, somehow, Romans 8:28, is going to be a benefit and a blessing to me in my eternal life, in my spiritual life. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will what? Experience persecution. A call to embrace the trials. And lastly, Paul calls Timothy, and I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us today, to continue to trust the unchanging God and his unchanging word. See, that's what, that's it. If we can stand on and say, I know this is true. I don't understand what I'm going through and I don't know why. I mean, I'd love to know why certain things happen. Like Paul could say, the thorn in the flesh, yeah, I got a reason for that. I know I'm prideful and God wants to keep me low. But notice what he says as he calls him to continue trusting an unchanging God and his unchanging word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. That's why I want us to go through what we believe. I want you to know what you believe. And you don't believe it because I've told you to believe it or the Sunday school teachers told you to believe it, but because you've studied the Word and you know what it says. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. And know that from infancy you have known the sacred Scriptures. Praise God. I thank God I had a mom and daddy that at least they made me learn Scriptures. Buddy, you want to play some Bible trivia? I'll probably whip you. I mean, it don't take me much to get prideful, see? But which are, notice what he says. He says, one, what they are able to, the purpose, they are able to give you wisdom to what? Salvation. It's able to say, see, remember a while ago? The perilous people and the deceiving that he said, get away from them. What was it? Their mind was corrupt. They can look at the same Scripture and find a different meaning or a different truth, one that makes them feel better and their life a little bit easier. This book is inspired. Again, and not only they are able to save you, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. It's able not only to save you, but notice, it is able to rebuke you, meaning that it shows you where wrong is at in your life. How many of us, when we go in the Word of God, do we ask God? Do we ask the Holy Spirit? Because that's what he's supposed to do. He's the teacher. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and he teaches. Do you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word and then to give you a right understanding in it? And what if he says you ain't doing something right? Are you willing to change it? Or you just poke it in the back pocket and say, I'll come back to that in a little bit. Notice it says, but not only does he correct me, it also teaches me. It shows me what's wrong, but then it shows me right, what's right. And Lord willing, in doing that, what did it say? It trains me in righteousness. Or that, Lord willing, I'm going to start living the right way. I'm going to start doing what is right in the eyes of my Creator. The one who not only called me into service, but every day calls me to continue to press on in the name of Jesus. So that the man of God or the one of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. Everything that we need, we have. Through the person of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Do you know that? That everything we need to know that we're going to face, we're going to have to deal with, somehow is dealt with in this book. And it might take digging. You might have to get you a Logos program, and you might, on your computer, you might have to get you a Strong's Concordance, and you might have to get you some DVDs and all this stuff, and you might have to watch the Star Network and learn about the UFOs, which are actually demons and angels and all that kind of stuff. But are you willing to go after it? Are you willing to? I'm telling you, COVID has made us lazy. It has. It has. And I think we're at a point now that we don't even know if we're going to come out of it. And many, I don't think many Christians are concerned, or professing, I'm going to say professing, okay? They're not concerned about it. As long as we have that form for right now, and we can make the show look pretty good, and we can leave and say, okay, I've did my duty. But are we continuing? Or are we just getting by? A couple of passages back, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one that wars entangles themselves with the affairs of this life, that he or she may please the one that has chosen them to be a soldier. You know, there's a place that we can get to. What does he say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and what will happen? Everything else will be taken care of. Or be added unto you, but what it means is to be taken care of. You see, when he said that about the soldier, to endure as a soldier, the soldier doesn't have to provide his own backpack. The soldier doesn't have to provide his own rifle or his own boots or anything. You know who that job is? The one who's called him to be a soldier. So all the soldier has to do is worrying about continuing, pressing on. And through the Spirit and the book, and you know what else? There's more than just the Spirit and the Bible. God has so much more for us, the abundance, that we can live the abundant life. But I'm going to ask our piano player to come, and I'm not going to push hard, but if you're here today, or you're watching or listening, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and this ain't your first time listening to Thomas Village, what are you waiting for? I tell you, not that I'm perfect, but there's nothing like the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like the grace and the forgiveness that you can experience. And yes, the flesh tries to beat you up. And then you know, the old devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. So he'll tempt you, and then he'll beat you up after you fall into the temptation and run back to God and tell on you. But what does God say? All I see is the blood. All I see is the blood. So maybe today you've walked the aisle and you've been baptized or whatever, but you just don't know if you died today that you'd go to heaven. I'd love to show you what the Word of God said. You can type in the Romans Road on your phone, and you don't have to have me. I don't have to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But I think that I know God gave me this message. But I don't think I'm the only one that just feels the pull to sit back and just let things go. Just let it be what it's going to be. There's a call to recognize that it is a challenge. When Jesus saved us, when we came to know, he never said that the call would be easy. But he does say it'll be worth it. He does say, and he says this, I'll never ask you to do something that I don't empower you to accomplish. But then not only do we need to recognize the challenge, we need to recognize, and there's a call to separate from those that are dangerous and deceived. And then there's a call to continue in Christ-like character. And there's the call to, and this is, to me, out of all of them, this is kind of in the heart, but to embrace the trials. To embrace what God has allowed into our lives. And then the last one is the call to continue to trust our unchanging God and His unchanging Word. You remember what Paul told him when he got down here in chapter 4? He said, I've fought the good fight. I've ran the race. I've continued in the faith. Can we say, or will we be able to say, as in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I'm going to continue the good fight. I'm going to continue to run the race. And I'm going to continue to keep the faith until it's time for me to be poured out and I graduate from this level into another. Whatever your need is, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and the altar's open. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I don't know what you want to do with this scripture and this message today. God, I've tried to present it in the clearest way possible. And I ask you, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord, that we'll be open to it. If there be one listening or watching or whatever that doesn't know you, that has a doubt about eternity, God, that today will be the day of salvation. But also, Lord, I pray that we'll recognize that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, what you've done for one, you'll do for another. And in the same way that you strengthened Paul and you strengthened Timothy and you gave them the strength to continue on in these challenges that you place in their life, God, I pray that you teach me how to be that. And God, I pray that this church and our testimony will be that of continuing for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whatever your need is. Again, I want to thank you for just making the effort to be here at 2 o'clock because I'd say most of us are in a pretty good routine that Sundays after lunch is kindly snooze and nap time. And so the flesh probably fought against you to get here. So again, I thank you. But do we have any words of praise or testimony before we close? Don't forget to sign up for the marriage conference, February 25th and 26th, and then there'll be no one or anything tonight, okay? But at Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we'll have our prayer meeting and then choir practice. As far as I know right now, Ken's waiting on his result. He had to do the long one. But as of right now, Wednesday at 6, choir practice, and 7 o'clock regular service. Anything else before we close? Brother John Franklin, would you come and close us out?
Bow our heads. Your kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly bow here before you, Lord, and I just give you thanks, Lord, for this service and this message that you have provided for us today, Father, this afternoon. Father, Lord, I just pray that we would be emboldened by it, Lord, and that we would seek your Holy Spirit out, Lord, for the strength and endurance that we know He has, Father, Lord, for us, Lord, if we would just accept it, Father, as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, just be with us through this week until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I really did tell the Lord if He gave me my hot water heater back, I'd cut my hair. So that was amazing. Hey, Brother Daniel, I'm praying for you.